In the old joke about the patient and the psychiatrist, the patient says good morning, and the psychiatrist thinks, wonder what she meant by that. Saying what you mean is not always simple. Meaning what you say can be tricky, too. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg continues her Tuesday series on power by focusing on the power of language.
Linguist Deborah Tannen's first book, You Just Don't Understand, was on the bestseller list for almost 4 years. That tells you something about communication and its minefields. Deborah Tannen analyzes what's going on in a simple conversation like this from an old New Yorker cartoon. A man and a woman are sitting up in bed. He's reading a book. She turns to him.
Talk to me, Howard. You never talk to me.
While the economy appears sluggish, primarily in the goods-producing industries, the overall service sector is buoyant.
Deborah Tannen, what do you hear in that exchange?
This is a classic example of one of the themes that I talked about in the book, You Just Don't Understand. He's doing what I call report talk. She's doing rapport talk. So she wants to get the conversation going because talk is a way you feel close. He's doing the kind of talk he's comfortable with, giving out information about the world, impersonal information. What was really hurtful about this to women is what she gets, it seems like a power play. He's lecturing to her. And one lectures to a student, to somebody less informed, less competent. This is something that we see in an ongoing way in conversations between women and men. For example, I am fascinated, almost obsessed, you might say, by how frequently I hear from women, I fell in love with him, I married him because he makes me laugh. I never hear a man say, or being quoted as saying, I fell in love with her because she makes me laugh. What I hear is, I fell in love with her because she laughs at my jokes.
Whoa. What is the power part of laughter? Because it's very powerful, isn't it? As a matter of fact, comedians talk about killing their audience.
Oh, in a way, laughing together is the most intimate, connected, equal thing you can do. Mm-hmm. You know, you sit around with a bunch of people, you laugh together, you feel like you're really connected. But when one person is making the other person laugh, it feels like an unequal situation because the person who's laughing is temporarily incapacitated. Mm-hmm. And the person who is calling the shots, telling the jokes, is keeping control.
Mm-hmm. So examples, for instance, of the use of language as an instrument of power in family situations. That's all about connecting or
right.
not.
Well, it's ambiguous. If I say to you, I'm going to take a walk, and you say, oh, I'd love to go with you, but could you just wait a couple minutes? I have to make one phone call uh-huh. first. Is this connection, we're going to walk together, or is it power? I'm making you wait until I'm ready. They're really intertwined. If you're connected to someone, what you do has an impact on them, and so you're controlling their movements.
Let's talk about the power of language in the public arena now. After the 9/11 attacks, the then mayor of New York, Rudolph Giuliani, sat down, I understand, to read speeches of Winston Churchill before he went out to speak to his people and to the world about the disaster. And also there was one sentence of his, he may have used it the very first time he spoke, it was before the number of deaths was clear, but what he said was, it will be more than we can bear. What do you hear in a statement like that?
I think all politicians realize how much of their leadership depends on the power of language. One aspect of it is persuasive power. I think there are two main levels of the power of language in political life. One is what you're referring to here, the ability of the leader to create a sense of connection with the people that he or she is leading. And that can be done often even by the timbre of the voice, the rhythms. But there's another power of language, and that is by the metaphors that you choose. You bring in tow a whole set of connections that people then react to. For example, the Bush administration's attempts and finally success in repealing the inheritance tax. If you call this tax an estate tax, an estate is something rather large, and if you're the average working person, you don't have an estate, and so you don't feel implicated by that estate tax. Fine, let the other guys pay it, and that is actually the reality that you had to inherit over $1 million before this tax kicked in. But call it a death tax. And suddenly everyone is implicated. We all die. We all find death repellent. And so how awful to tax death. So in choice of words, people can really manipulate the response of the average voter.
What about at the workplace, bosses, subordinates?
Let me give you an example. There was a discussion between a woman and a man about a particular manager. And she was saying, oh, you know, she has so many connections in so many departments. She's been really successful. And the man said, well, what you mean is she has clout. And the woman said, well, not really. I mean, she's built up relationships with people, so she can call on them when she needs to get around the rules or hurry things up. And he said, that's what I said. She's been there long enough, so she has clout. And the woman was getting more and more irritated, and she said, no, I'm not talking about clout. I'm talking about relationships. And it's a wonderful illustration of how the connection and the power are inseparable. Connection means you know the people and can get things done, and that's power. And I saw this in the research that I did myself in the workplace. There was a woman, she was the highest ranking woman in the corporation that I was doing my research in, and every day she made a point to do a walk through her division and say hello to everybody. Hmm. Now, what she said was fairly superficial. She might throw out a compliment, but she said something friendly to everyone from the CEO to the mail clerk. When she needed to do something, the person who had the power to get it done was her friend, and she just called them up and she would get it done.
Wow.
She got clout or power by her system of connections.
Thanks very much. Deborah Tannen is a linguist and university professor at Georgetown University in Washington. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
You say either, and I say either. You say neither, I say neither. Either, either, neither, neither. Let's call the whole thing off.
Susan's series on power concludes next Tuesday with some observations on life after wielding immense power. Her guest is the former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich.
Oh, let's call the whole thing off. Oh, if we call the whole thing off, then we must part. And oh, if we ever part, that would break my heart. So I say erster, you say oyster. I'm not gonna stop eating ersters just 'cause you say oyster.